Here's a wild stat for you. Job seekers who reach out directly to hiring managers are 2 times more likely to land interviews. We've seen it over and over and over with our coaching clients. But most people either skip cold outreach because it feels awkward, time-consuming, or like, what the hell do I even say? Or worse, they don't skip it, but they do it wrong and make a bad impression. That's why I put together our interview-getting email templates with over 15 email and LinkedIn message templates, follow-up emails, AI prompts for quick customization, and a super, super simple strategy to help you book more interviews, all within minutes. You can grab them right now at carlyagar.com/emails, or just click the link in today's show notes. But do it fast, because these won't be available much longer. You are listening to the Customer Success Career Coach. Today's episode is for anyone who keeps making it to later round interviews, but is having trouble securing that offer in the end. You've probably got the experience, you're getting the interviews, but something is just getting lost in the interview process. That's exactly where my client Cheryl was until she made 3 surprisingly small, but very intentional changes to how she showed up in interviews. And if you stick around, I'll walk you through exactly what she changed and how it helped her land 2 final rounds and a 6-figure offer within just a couple of weeks. What if the only thing standing between you and your next big career milestone is just a strategy you haven't heard yet? I'm Carly Agar, customer success veteran, award-winning career coach, and your go-to for getting hired and promoted in customer success. Whether you're breaking into the field or ready to level up into leadership, this podcast is your shortcut to real career growth. Every episode is packed with practical takeaways, data-backed strategies, and 0 fluff advice that actually works, so you can start making moves towards your goals immediately. If you're ready to take control of your career, well, then you're in the right place. Welcome to the Customer Success Career Coach Podcast. Welcome back to another episode of the Customer Success Career Coach. Let's talk about where Cheryl, my client, was when she started working with us. When she initially reached out to me, she wasn't struggling so much with landing interviews. She was actually getting them, and I would say she was getting them at well-known SaaS companies too for appropriate level roles. She's very much like a mid-level CSM. Her resume was pretty solid. She was networking. She didn't need too much help in that arena, though there were definitely some optimizations to make, as there always are. But her biggest kind of sticking point was that she kept getting to later round interviews and not getting an offer. It was always going to someone else. She was always getting good feedback, but then never getting the offer. And if you've been there, you know how much that sucks. Like, you put in all this time and energy and the team's like, oh, we love you and you're great and we only have positive feedback, but you're not getting the offer. And you're just like, ugh, it sucks. It's terrible. And whenever that's happening with someone, I can, and my whole team, truthfully, can very quickly pick up on what's going wrong. Like, as soon as we start practicing interviewing, we know, like, boom, 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 it's this that needs to change. But I always like to ask people before we get into actually practicing, I always like to ask them, like, what do you think is going wrong in interviews? And here's what Cheryl said. She said, I'm not always confident I'm positioning myself as strongly as I could. That was 1. 2, sometimes imposter syndrome totally takes over. 3, I feel like I need to improve my storytelling. And 4, I know I'm really good. I know I have the stories and the experience and the skills, but I definitely struggle to fully articulate my value and impact in an interview setting. Which, if you've interviewed recently, probably all of that sounds familiar because these are very, very common things for me to hear from job seekers when it comes to interviewing. Imposter syndrome, storytelling. You feel confident, but at the same time, you know you're not articulating your value in the best way possible. These are all super, super common. So if any of this sounds familiar to you, keep listening because I'm going to walk you through three very specific changes that we made with Cheryl in her interviews, and you're going to learn a lot. So once we dove into real life interview practice with Cheryl, the first thing that we noticed was her stories were very shallow. So we started listening to her answers to common interview questions, you know, basic things like, tell me about a time you drove adoption in an account, or tell me about a time you expanded an account, things like that. And she was technically using the right format. She was using the format that we teach, which is SAR, which stands for Situation, Action, Result. But her answers were too short and they were falling very flat. Specifically, what we noticed is that she wasn't giving a lot of context up front. So she wasn't really explaining what was at stake before she went into the story, which is so important to get the person who's listening to you talk actually want to hear the rest of the story and understand why it mattered. So she wasn't really building the stakes at the beginning. When it got to the middle of the story, the meat of the story, where she's supposed to be talking about how amazing she is and all these strategic decisions she made and these actions she took, she was just kind of like glossing over them. Like she would kind of list out the specific things she did, but she just wasn't selling them. And then her results at the end of her stories were okay. It's just because the first two thirds of each story were so vanilla, the result didn't even feel good. It was like she would have these impressive numbers and you're like, eh, that should sound impressive, but I'm just like so bored. So we completely reworked her stories, primarily focusing on the situation and the action, making sure that the situation was building the stakes, was explaining why this was important, why this was a focus, who cared about this thing, why it mattered, what was at risk. And then in her action part of her stories, we really made sure that she was emphasizing every step she took, every strategic decision she made, and selling her as someone who is extremely proactive, someone who takes a lot of initiative. And here's a real story that came out of one of her coaching sessions. When I joined, the company had just launched a new onboarding playbook because they were struggling to get customers to day 30 activation, which was a big leading indicator of churn. So it was extremely important that they were able to increase day 30 activation. What I noticed, though, was once I started digging into my accounts, 40% of my accounts in the enterprise segment were actually still inactive beyond day 30. So what I identified was that there was a gap in our training flow that addressed a very specific aspect of how these enterprise accounts would onboard into our product. And I built a whole new touchpoint strategy for enterprise accounts, made sure that that gap in our training was filled. And ultimately, that increased day 30 activation by 22%. And that ultimately was rolled out across 80 plus accounts. So boom, there you have it. That is the perfect SAR story. It's not too long. It's not rambly. It hits on what was at stake. Why was this important? What exactly did you do? What special thing can I learn about you from this story? And what was the result? Easy peasy. If you are someone who struggles to move through interviews or gets to later rounds and doesn't get an offer, chances are there's something off balance in your interview stories. You're probably not balancing the situation, action, and result appropriately. So use that story that I just told you as an example and go audit your own stories, and that will probably make a huge difference. The next thing we learned about Cheryl was she had a tendency to downplay her internal influence. So in working with Cheryl, we learned that she actually had a lot of ownership over internal processes. She was someone who was always taking initiative, was always standing up, was always volunteering to say, I'll fix this thing, I'll build this thing. And so she had a ton of ownership over internal processes. But in talking about them, she would often say, I helped with this, I assisted with this thing, I collaborated on this thing. When in reality, one of the stories that we learned from her was that she built an entire renewal tracking system in Airtable, which if you don't know what Airtable is, it's super cool. But she created the whole custom workflow. She trained not just the CS team, but the sales team. That's not just like collaborating on something. That's not just like participating in a project. That is leadership. That is better leadership than I've seen some real leaders do throughout their careers. So we needed to make sure that in her interviews, she was taking ownership of those things that she had done and not feeling like she had to downplay her role in all of these super cool things. Once she started just reframing some of these stories with words like I created, I owned, I spearheaded, it made her sound so much more like the leader she actually is. Actually, in one of her coaching sessions, she said, I didn't realize how much I was downplaying what I actually owned. And that's also super common. It's something that happens to all of us because in our natural state, for most of us, we're not used to bragging about ourselves. We're not used to taking all of the credit. So it's totally normal. But if you're listening to this and thinking, oh, crap, like I probably do that too. Yeah, you probably do. But the good news is now you're more aware of it. And it's very, very, very easy to fix. You just need to learn to spot when you're doing it. Third thing we learned about Cheryl and her tendencies in interviews was she was not ever steering the interview. What I mean by that is we noticed she was very timid in an interview setting. So she would confidently answer questions, but she wasn't actually driving the conversation, which was so different from how she acted in coaching sessions and just how she is as a person. She is very talkative in a good way. Like, she's a good conversationalist. She's very curious. She's very warm. She's very easy to open up to. But in an interview setting, that was not translating. We noticed that it seemed like she was holding back, like she was biting her tongue. She was trying not to talk unless someone asked her a question. So what we did to help her kind of get over this and start being more herself in interviews was we basically mapped out like, okay, what are Cheryl's three core themes that she is going to highlight in every single conversation she has? So what are the three things that she feels are her main strengths? By the way, this is also informed by other candidates we see in the market, doing some comparing, like, hey, these are the things about Cheryl that make you stand out. So we worked with her to figure out what those three things were. We decided that her strengths, the things that made her really stand out and shine, were her customer success strategy, her cross-functional work, and specifically her success with renewals. Then what we did was create a short list of questions she could ask in any conversation she was in, just to kind of help drive the conversation forward and give her a little bit more control over the conversation. And we practiced tying those three themes back to the company that she's interviewing with, their company level goals. So let me give you a real example. Before, she ended a story she was telling about onboarding like this. And the customer adopted the product successfully. Okay, it's not terrible, but it's also not driving the conversation forward. After, she said, that onboarding strategy actually increased activation by 22% in 30 days. And based on what you shared about struggling with early adoption in your enterprise segment, I'm curious how you think some of that might apply here. That is interview gold. You can see how she didn't just answer the question, but at the end of her answer, she made herself part of the solution. and she showcased initiative. She showcased curiosity. She actually invited the interviewer to collaborate with her right then and there on a call. Right after that final round interview, it was with a VP, by the way, she emailed her and said she was a breath of fresh air. So clearly, this worked. She needed to have more of her personality. She needed to be more herself in interviews because as someone who takes initiative, is an easy conversationalist, is curious, is easy to open up to, that's all something that is great to showcase in interviews. So we needed to make sure that that was coming through. And we did. What happened when Cheryl started making these adjustments? These are three teeny tiny little adjustments we've talked about thus far. But within 3 weeks of making those changes, she landed 2 final round interviews. She was getting a ton of real-time validation during each of those interviews. That comment, like, you're a breath of fresh air, was not the only comment that interviewers made about her and how overwhelmingly great she was at interviewing. But she also, in the end, received a 6-figure offer from a company that she was extremely excited about. So she ended up with a higher title. She moved into a title with enterprise in it, which is what she wanted. Her OTE increased by 35% overall, which was way more than she was expecting. And again, like I said, it was a company she was happy with and excited about. So, like, none of what we did with Cheryl was anything crazy. We certainly did not make up any stories. We didn't exaggerate anything about her background. And truthfully, we didn't even spend that much time practicing with Cheryl. I think right before I hopped on to record this, I checked. I want to say she had only 2.5 hours of coaching sessions in total. And that's all it took for her to learn these 3 mistakes she was making, become aware of them, figure out what she was going to be doing instead, and boom, she started showing up differently in those rooms, and clearly it paid off. If you right now are stuck in the interview cycle and can't figure out why you're not closing the deal and getting an offer, start by looking at how you're talking about your work. Make sure you're telling stories that are memorable and compelling and paint a picture of why you're amazing. Make sure you are describing your strategy, not just listing tasks that you executed. And make sure you're also doing a little bit of steering the conversation. Don't just sit there and answer an interviewer's questions. That is boring and that is not very memorable. If you want my help rewriting your interview stories and making sure that you are really selling yourself every single time you speak in an interview, just grab my free interview training. Go to carlyagar.com/live-behavioral. I know that's kind of a mouthful, so we'll put the link in the show notes for this episode. But in that free training, it's incredible. It's 45 minutes of me breaking down exactly how to nail a behavioral interview. You get real interview answer examples, very in-depth walkthroughs of how to set up and audit your own interview stories, and it's just amazing. So if you have not watched that yet, go watch it. If you've watched it in the past and it's been a while, rewatch it. It is totally worth it. And of course, if you want to go even deeper, if you want that real-time, one-to-one, personalized feedback like Cheryl had, apply for one-on-one coaching and we'll help you out just like we did with her. And you can apply at carlyagar.com/apply. You've been listening to the Customer Success Career Coach. I'll catch you in the next episode. That's it for today's episode. Thanks so much for tuning in. If you love today's episode, or if you want to continue the conversation, come hang out with me on LinkedIn. Connect with me, follow me, or message me over there. I'm at linkedin.com/in/Carly-Agar. And if you haven't already, don't forget to follow the show wherever you listen to your podcast so you don't miss any future episodes. I'll catch you next time.